Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. You guys good? You guys good? Okay, good. That's good. That's good. Oh, man. It's like, you guys good? Nothing. I'm like, oh, man, you must not be. Bless them, Jesus. I mean, how many of you enjoyed worship today? Amen? Come on. I want you to look at your neighbor. I don't care. Pick one. Pick the better looking one, the one you like the most, right? Now, pick your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready. I have a feeling that this morning is going to be a party. I want you to look at your other neighbor, the one that you didn't pick because you don't like as much. Pick another neighbor. Pick another neighbor. And I want you, I'm joking, by the way, okay? Some of you are like, I like them both. I'm messing. I want you to look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I would have been the best dressed here. Then you had to show up. Come on, I promise you, if my wife was here, I would be looking at her and be like, baby, you are the best dressed here. Praise the Lord. But anyways, guys, it is awesome to be here this morning. And man, just to be here this weekend. I was supposed to be here twice last year. And I had a scheduling blunder. And because I'm not administrative. Well, I am, but I'm not. My wife is. And I had done some stuff with my schedule that I didn't tell her about and made a mistake. And I made a mistake and made Pastor Brian angry because he's jealous. He loves me. He wants me all to himself, right? And I joked. I was like, man, you just want me all to yourself. You would have me all the time if you could. And he didn't deny it. Like, he actually was like, so if, for those who couldn't see, he was moving his head really fast. But anyways, but I was like, man, for sure, this coming year, 2023, I'll be here. But anyways, for those who don't know me, I have a beautiful wife at home whose name is Kirsten. And she is my right hand. If you were here for the marriage thing on Friday night, she is my plug. And I know that sounds weird, but I had a prophet actually come and prophesy to a prophet. He prophesied to me, and he brought my wife in. He brought the pastor in. He was in there, and he said, Ryan, he says, your wife, the Lord gave me a vision of like a boat. And all boats have a plug to keep the water outside of the boat, not in the boat, right? I remember one time me and my buddy were going fishing. He backs his fishing boat into the water, drives the truck and the trailer out, and I'm holding on to the rope, right? Because I can't back anything up. But anyways, I can back up the scriptures and, you know, all that stuff, but not like physical stuff. I go forward. It's easy to go backwards with nothing behind me, and to have a trailer is hard. So he goes, and all of a sudden, like, water is coming into the boat, and the back end is starting to sink into the water. I'm like, I don't know much about boats, but that's not good. And I'm like, dude, there's water in the boat. And he comes running. He's like, Ryan, and I didn't tell the marriage people this on Friday night, but he's like, Ryan, get the plug. I'm like, what's a plug? What are you talking about, a plug? And there was a plug that he forgot to put in. And so, yeah, we had to, yeah, it was fun. But anyway, so I guess you have to go like really fast to get the water out the hole. So the boat plug is really important, right? Or things will sink. And so he said, Ryan, he said, I had a vision of a boat filling with water, but then there was a plug or something like that. And he says, your wife is a plug. She's got your back. She's here to protect you. She's here to, she'll see things that you don't see. And boy, is that the truth. Because when I look in the mirror, I see perfection. I look back with my history of marriage, and I'm like, man, baby, you're blessed to be married to me. But she tells me real quick, that is not reality. You are flawed. Only Christ himself in you is perfection and gives you the hope of perfection one day. I, by all means, am not perfect, and I know that I am just joking around, but I love my wife, and she's a plug. She keeps me from sinking. Absolutely love her. And that sounds really bad. She's my plug. That's like real endearing, but she really is my plug. And then I have a beautiful son who's 10. He just won for his basketball team the championship. They were in overtime. I'm out of town. I missed it, man. I'm out of town. I'm at a Mexican restaurant, and my I'm watching FaceTime with my wife, and my wife is usually the calm one. Like, when I go to sporting events, I'm the audible one. Like, we went to the championship football game, my son did. They only had one loss last year. I mean, in November, it's cold, and the refs were just not reffing. And I'm the guy that was booing with the crowd, yelling at them, telling them to go home. What did the other team pay you off? See, I have flaws. I'm not perfect. I was angry. I'm looking up at the booth like, hey, are you going to stop the clock? Like, what's going on? I'm that kind of guy. My wife gets mad at me. My wife is just quiet. She's like a quiet, nervous person. And me, I'm like, I get really, really talkative and weird and goofy whenever I'm nervous. I'm an extrovert. So that's like saying something, right? And so she's like getting all freaked out at the basketball game. They're in overtime, right? Overtime. I thought they were going to get creamed, to be honest with you. I didn't think we were that good. But anyways, it was back and forth. We would be down a point, up a point, down a point. We're in overtime. There's 17 seconds left. They work the ball down. The guy throws it. The boy takes his shot. He misses. My son's right there. And like a Michael Jordan, all right, Larry Bird, somebody, okay? He just lays that bad boy up there, right, with like 9 seconds left in overtime. We're down by one. Sinks the shot, freaks out. I'm in the Mexican restaurant like, oh my gosh, and he got fouled. Oh my gosh. And then he misses the foul shot, but we get the rebound and we win the championship game. And I stand up and erupt in the Mexican restaurant. And then I sit down and I look at everybody and apologize, except for the Chiefs fan, because I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan and the Chiefs cheated their way to a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl win. And I was like, I'm sorry to everybody, but you. No, I didn't say that. I was thinking it, you know what I mean? And I freaked out. And it was a good time. I'm a proud daddy is what I'm trying to say. But my son is amazing. I have a almost 2-year-old daughter, and there's a whole story as to why the age gap 10 and 2, but she is my gem. Like, I love my boy, but I am so cool being wrapped around her finger, man. Like, I don't care if mom says no, I'm still giving it to her. Like, the other day, my wife's like, no more bread. We got dinner coming up. And I was like, gave her a piece of bread, and I was like, so then, of course, she grabs it, goes into the living room. And she's like, and then my wife's like, oh, what did daddy give you? And I'm like, but anyways, enough about me. I do lead a ministry called Wake Ministries. And we get the privilege and the honor to equip and empower the bride of Christ in their identity and the prophetic. And just to sum up the prophetic, in my opinion, is God sharing his affections with his people. And I believe the prophetic is just anointed encouragement. Real simple. Prophetic's anointed encouragement. Because how many of you know even correction brings an encouragement and an exhortation? See, when the Lord corrects you, you see his affection for you. Because Hebrews says he corrects those that he loves. So the prophetic, yes, can be corrective, it can be challenging, but it's just the Lord sharing his thoughts with you. I love the word of God, which I did not bring my Bible in, but I have it in my bag. It's on here. I love the word of God. Absolutely love the Logos. But there's just something about when Holy Spirit breathes on the Logos and makes it come alive and shares God's depths with you concerning the Logos. It's just amazing. And the word can really point us to God's affection, but the prophetic just enhances it. All right, let's move on. Some of you are like, oh, okay, cool. But anyways, if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right into this. And I've got all kinds of thoughts, and I'm going to try my best to articulate it quickly. poetically and powerfully. I know I gave it to him, but can I borrow that actual Bible real quick, Pastor Brian's? He's not even using it anyway, so I'm just messing. He does use his Bible. He's a pastor that uses his Bible. I'm just messing with you. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. We're going to read a few scriptures, and then I feel like what I'm going to teach and preach out will bring maybe an enhanced view on what we're going to read, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah, okay? And for those who like to clock preacher's time, I'm starting now. But Isaiah chapter 52. Oh, it's a good chapter. All chapters are good. But Isaiah 52. Brian, I'm just going to mark your Bible up with more spit. All right, so be good. Because I spit when I preach. So the first couple rows, y'all better watch it. Like, whoever did not sit here was wise. But my sister's sitting next to the tissue, so she'll be able to bat it off if I spit on her. But Isaiah 52, verse 12. How many of you know it's okay to be a little lighthearted? Amen. Have a little bit of fun. I might have a V-neck sweater on that I'm sure will be sweated out by the end of this. And I might have I might look real preppy today, but man, I like to be down to earth. And I used to pastor. I used to be a full-time pastor before I became full-time itinerant. And one of the things I wanted to be was so full of Jesus, but so down to earth. Because I feel like a lot of people, Christians, ministers, leaders, they carry this ego. And they represent Christ. And what we're projecting towards people is that Christ has an ego. And watch, they've come to that conclusion because of our behavior. That's a silent moment. Ooh, I feel like Bill Johnson just lit. But I don't know about you, but I want to represent him well in all aspects. Holiness, righteousness, but fun. Like the encounters I have with Jesus, the things that I experience with him, where who he is defined to me when I'm caught up in that encounter, that guards my mind from thinking of him anywhere else, or in any other way, I should say. And when I encounter him, listen, let me say that again. When I encounter him, the reality of him is more defined to me. And watch, I discover more of my identity when I look at his reality. Because Jesus says this, whatever you see me do, you can do even greater. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. The reality of heaven that you discover and believe is what determines the amount of identity that you walk out. And so, when I encounter Jesus and who he really is enhanced in my heart, it guards my mind from believing anything else. I love this. The Bible talks about how in Romans and other places, it says how we have rendered our lives dead unto sin. Which we've cut off sin. Sin is dead to us, and we're not alive. We're not dancing on the dance floor with sin. We have rendered ourselves dead unto sin, alive unto Christ. So whenever I seek the Lord because he wants to be found, and when I discover who he is, I am accountable to not just believe that thing that is discovered, walk out and be obedient to what I discover. I am required. You're required. When you behold Christ in all of his glory, to guard that revelation and render every other opinion as dung. Take every other thought captive and lead it to the obedience of Christ. Lead it to what you just discovered in your alone time with him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? guard and protect that revelation, but you're also accountable to also take what you have discovered and live unto it. Your obedience comes alive in discovering the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Your assignment, your purpose is inflated in discovering the testimony of Jesus. For the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the spirit, the life of prophecy. And the reason I'm saying this is if we are to watch, crucify our flesh, account all sin as dung, and watch this, be dead to sin and alive in Christ. That means when I discover his identity and his testimony, I am to die to any other thought or opinion and live unto, wholly devoted, with full obedience, faith through love, towards the things that he revealed to me in that alone time with him. And you might be like, well, that just sounds weird. Can I tell you something? It's an introduction to stuff we're going to preach here in just a minute. And I'm already preaching. I already set my timer, okay? But what I'm trying to say and what I mean by that is, watch this. The things he reveals to us guards us, but we must guard it as well by stewarding it properly through our obedience, our surrender, and our laid down love for him. Lord, you just revealed this to me. I used to think this, but that is completely opposite of what you're revealing to me in the word and what you're revealing to me right now in this encounter. I die to that opinion and I will live for what you just revealed to me. What is the purpose of an elevated perspective if you're not going to live there? And what I mean by that is God elevates your perspective by showing you, hey, you've been taught this, but I say this. What is the purpose of your perspective being elevated by the whispers of heaven for you to just lower your standards and go back to, watch this, what was told to you by another source other than Jesus? The things that have been taught to you by another source other than Jesus must die when it meets the revelation of Jesus. The Bible says those who know to do right but don't do it, it's sin. It's in Romans. Those who know to do right but don't do it, it's accounted unto them as sin. But the Bible also says we are to render our lives dead unto sin. That means we're not going to rebel against the truth that's revealed in the scripture and through the Holy Spirit speaking to us and making God's view our view, enhancing it, revealing it to us. Is this making sense? Holy Spirit will reveal to us Christ, and he will reveal to us what righteousness looks like. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means make his kingdom and righteousness a priority and render everything else dead. Amen. What does this look like? This looks like, man, I have discovered, because of testimonies, the word of God, what Holy Spirit's revealed to me, that he's a healer. Do I see everyone healed when I pray? No, but he is a healer. And watch this. I have died to any thought and or an opinion that comes in the circumstance, the heat of the moment, or just in life when I analyze it. I have rendered myself dead to any thought that contradicts the revelation that the Word and the Holy Spirit reveals to me. What is the purpose of your perspective being elevated if you're not going to live in that place? God is calling us to live where we've been elevated in our mind through faith. These signs follow them that believe the substance that elevated your perspective. You believe and you live and you have your being and you operate in Christ and what is revealed of him. And the amazing thing, and I'm going to move on from this, the amazing thing is when he reveals himself to you, it guards and protects you because, watch, we have the shield of faith. He's revealed something to me that I'm going to live for and believe for, and I'm going to put up my shield, and watch this. That's when I am overwhelmed by his revelation being a guard in my mind. I love this. David says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. So watch this. He guarded the word by living for it and hiding it in his heart, stewarding it the best way he could in the Old Testament under the law. But now we have the Holy Spirit. David was saying, I hide my word, your word, God, in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that was a modern declaration of his day. I'm going to live by the Spirit and produce fruit. I won't sin against you. What is the purpose of an elevated perspective if you're not going to bear fruit because you live there through faith? You know what you are then? A person with substance but no weight. Meaning you have a lot of information and you're puffed up with what you know in your mind, but it hasn't reached your heart and has become your lifestyle. But the amazing thing is, David was like, you know what? I'm hiding your word in my heart, meaning I'm treasuring it. I'm going to desire it. I'm going to be obedient to it. I'm going to be consecrated to it and your presence, Lord. And David was known as a man after God's own heart. But he says, I'm going to hide that there because I'm going to treasure it is what that means. I'm going to honor it. I'm going to obey it because I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to know your word and what to do right and not do it and have sin. I'm going to honor it and steward it. And can I tell you something? When you honor the word, God doesn't just guard you and shield you from sin. He doesn't just guard and protect you through faith from the fiery darts of the wicked one, even though that is part of him guarding you. When you hide yourself in his word and his word becomes a stronghold in your mind and heart, God's guarding you from crazy. To when you get phone calls like I do as a minister that are not good. Your intentions are to see resurrection, to see breakthrough, to see healing, because God's guarding your mind from everything else. Because you're now dead to that thought and opinion. And that doesn't mean you're not going to fight the temptations in your mind to believe that stuff that you're dead from. That are dead in your life. Because there's times I'm like, man, this don't look good. I guess I'm going to be doing their funeral. And there's times I have done people's funerals and believed for them to get off their hospital bed. Sorry. I got to preaching before I read scripture. But I'm quoting scripture. Is this making sense? So like God's word, like if you honor it, it will guard you. God's word and what Holy Spirit reveals to you is perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, and it will protect you in the midst of war if you implement it, honor it, and obey it. God's word is counterculture. You're going to fight the temptation of wanting to do what the culture is doing, but you need to hide yourself in the word and be dead to anything that violates that word and you having communion with it and honoring it. You had Isaiah 52. And it says this in verse 12, it says, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go fight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your what? Rear guard. The Lord will go before you. I preached last night about how King Jehoshaphat and two other kings were in a predicament, and King Jehoshaphat was the one that said in 2 Kings 3, where's the prophet? Where's the word? You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm not moving forward following our emotion or following our thoughts or following our intel from past battles or following our opinion or your opinion. We need to follow the word of the Lord if we're going to be guarded by him, protected by him, and actually have victory. Do you want to have victory in life? Let the word of the Lord lead you. Those who are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God, Romans 14 says. So if you want him to be your rear guard and guard you in things, you need to be anxious for nothing but seek him and then hide the word that he shares with you. Treasure it, be obedient to it. And those are the ones who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His guard and protection will go with you and you will be fruitful. The Bible says this, Jesus says this in John 15. He says, if my word abides in you and you abide in my word, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Amen. You want to be fruitful in your season? Seek the word. Not just the written word, because it can have sometimes its limitations without the breath of the Holy Spirit. Meaning we only see him maybe in part, but then God reveals the whole to us maybe by enhancing his view, in our perspective. Let the word of God go before you. And then when you follow the word of God, if you follow his instruction, like in Isaiah 52, verse 12, let me go before you. Let my word go before you. Honor it, trust it, obey it. He'll be your rear guard. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me now to Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. You just go there real quick. I need to get all of this out real quick. Psalms chapter 3, verse 3, and it says this. It says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Let me say that again for those who didn't hear it and get there yet in your Bibles. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, and watch this, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I love this because in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, when you look at certain verses, it just makes things come alive even more in the Hebrew. And I just want to share this with you. When it says that you are, O Lord, are my shield. Shield there means shield and buckler in the Hebrew. But I love this, that it also means that, watch this, you cover me, you surround me, and you defend me. This is all going to come together in just a minute. Because you might be like, well, how did you go from like being dead to sin, alive in Christ, dead to any other opinion or imagination, alive to what Christ reveals to you? Because watch this. This is what will guard your heart and mind. The word of God, the word of the Lord that goes before you will convict your heart and compel you to go behind him. Hello? That's a good thing, because in Isaiah 52, verse 12, he's like, hey, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to go before you. That means they were behind him. But he's our guard. He defends us. He has us 360. Yeah. Is this making sense? Yep. He doesn't elevate your perspective to entertain you. He elevates his word in your heart and in your mind to protect you, so that you don't sin against him and offend and wound others. I love this though. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, the one who lifts up my head. Now, if you have your Bibles, you're probably like, good Lord, just roll with me. Thank God, if anything, you got scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Because how many of you know you don't need a preacher's opinion as much as you just need his word? So 1 Peter, real quick, chapter 1, verse, we're going to start at verse 12. You guys okay? Good. I hope so. And I'm going to make this more practical. I'm just going to try to break this down a little bit more. We're only 19 minutes into my sermon time, so that's good. 1 Peter chapter 1, and it says this, verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Verse 13 is where I wanted to get to. Gird. Therefore, gird up your loins, or gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest in hope. In what? The grace and the revelation of Jesus. The word hidden in your heart, you guard it, but it guards you. The revelation of grace and the revelation of Christ is what I believe you're to gird your minds with, the loins of your mind with. Watch this. This will be a little contextual thing here. In the Old Testament, like when Elijah was running from Ahab and Jezebel and stuff, it says that he pulled up the loins of his garment to flee. I'm sure he did that when he outran the chariots. People, watch this. They would pull up their robe and their loincloth that hung down low on the body because it would actually have made it difficult for them to run if they didn't. And here it says in verse 13 again of 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know what he's saying? Tie up the loose ends. Pull up. Elevate your perspective to a kingdom perspective. May the word of the Lord come upon you and go before you and lead you into conversations. Your mind might be all kinds of crazy. Think angry, frustrated, upset. We preached on this, but Elisha was upset at King Jehoshaphat and others and had a strong denial of wanting to give him a word, give the kings a word. But Elisha said, give me some music. And when the music started to play, the Bible says the hand of the Lord came. Come on. How many of you know you need your hands to tie shoes? So the hand of the Lord came and I believe girded up the loins of his mind. A revelation came that tied up these sporadic, anxious, frustrating thoughts that he had towards at least King Jehoshaphat. So if you take this, the 1 Peter, I believe this is a perfect example of what the Spirit of God does. The revelation of Christ that's revealed to us by the Spirit and us taking the Logos word of God and honoring it and hiding it in our hearts, it takes everything that's sporadic, everything that's like a wild stallion in our mind, and it girds it up so that we can run freely. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, watch, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us then run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus who goes before us. Is this making sense? I could lead me into this situation, or I could be anxious for nothing and pray and let the word of the Lord give me a soundness of mind, girding up my loins. Come on, somebody. The loins of my mind so that I don't sin against God and rebel against God's heart and desire for the moment and wound people, but I actually bless people and honor the Lord through my love, heartfelt obedience. What is the purpose of an elevated perspective if you're not going to live there? I hope this is making sense. It's making sense to me. So I love this because in verse 13, he says, therefore. And of course, when you read a therefore, you need to know what it's there for. It's typical. But 1 Peter chapter 1, watch this. Just in a nutshell, you have Peter's greeting. You got the greeting. He always does greetings. Paul does greetings, right? Gives you a little bit of their resume, bondservant, apostle. It's like, okay, stop bragging. No, I'm just messing. But watch, in chapter 1, before this verse, he says God's glorious work of salvation. He talks about God's glorious work of salvation and salvation security. He talks about them rejoicing in their problems because his promise is secure and real, and he is not slack on his promises. He ensures our salvation. Watch, he ensures the security of our salvation in Christ. 11 times he asserts, talks about, there's assertions of the eternal nature of salvation because of, watch, his, God's eternal and forever loving nature. 11 times before verse 13. Then he says, therefore, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. So, watch, so you can run freely. Guess what? Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. The revelation of Christ girds up the loins of your mind so that your mind's not getting in the way and analyzing things where the dreams of God fall by the sword of your analytical spirit on the battlefield of your mind. The things that are prompting you to rebel against God, the things that are prompting you to sin against God because you don't think you can do it, you don't know if God has the capability or the power to do it, those are the things that need to be girded up so that you can be free in mind and watch this, empowered freely, just run with Jesus. Is this making sense? David, watch this, girded up the loins of his mind by encouraging himself in the Lord. And I love this because he gives all of this revelation before a therefore, and then says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. With what? The things he just shared before verse 13. Is this making sense? So watch this. So he speaks to them about, he gives them revelation, and that revelation, watch this, guards their mind from weird, crazy. Meaning, it guards and protects us from maybe panic attacks over that come when we start believing our wrong identity. Or maybe we have anxiety because we don't really know who we are, but then the Lord girds up the loins of our mind by revealing to us who we are. And he elevates our perspective, and we choose to be dead to everything else and live there. This is good teaching. But it must happen through the Word. But I've got to say this. It must come through prayer. The Word of the Lord, the revelation of the Lord comes through reading the Word. So be intimate with the Word, meaning be acquainted with it. Be open and vulnerable with the vulnerable, open, transparent Word of God. But then let me encourage you with this. Seek Him in prayer because the Lord spoke this to me. He says certain realities are only accessed through prayer. There is things that I've experienced. There is blessings that I've stepped into because I prayed. A prayer went before me. My God went before me. I declared the word of the Lord. I declared how he was going before me. And it brought me into experiences that, watch this, brought me into realities that I believe was only accessed by prayer. I quoted this a couple times this weekend, but when Jesus says, the disciples like, why couldn't we cast this demon out? He's like, this only comes out, only comes. The authority to do this is only accessed through prayer and fasting. There is only certain things that will be accessed. Realities that gird up the loins of your mind so that you can be in a place of liberty, a place of resting in hope over the revelation of grace and the revelation of Christ. That revelation of grace and that revelation of Christ is accessed because of his goodness, because of your birthright, but there's certain realities that will not be accessed unless you cover it in prayer first. Amen. My son, I was going through a situation one time with my son. And I was frustrated and upset, and I told my son, I was driving home, I had an hour and a half, I was frustrated, I'm like, Lord, let him just tell this person a piece of his mind, and the Lord redirected me, because my mind was off, and the Lord spoke and girded up the loins of my mind, and he said, Ryan, I need to firm some things up, and this is how I want you to run, this is the direction I want you to run, like Elijah would gird up his loins before he would run. This is where I want you to want run. This is what's going to lead to liberty. This is what's going to lead to peace. This is what's going to lead to hope. Prophesy and pray that your son, and I started praying, guys, and I started saying, Lord, I thank you that my son, instead of him giving someone a piece of his mind, I'm like, Lord, may he be one that is compelled to proclaim and teach and walk out truth. May he be one that always is okay with sharing truth. Let his voice never be hindered because he's afraid to speak the truth. May he always speak truth. May he be one that is compelled for truth and speak truth. And I just started praying that, and can I tell you something? There is two instances already where he had to radically confess some hard truth. Just recently, he told my pastor, it was like Holy Spirit stood him up to go confess to his mom something that he did wrong. Oh, I don't know about you, but if I did not gird up the loins of my mind and I continue to have those crazy anger-filled thoughts and didn't seek the Lord and let his hand come upon me like Elisha, I would have never prophesied like Elisha. You might be like, what are you talking about? The story where he didn't want to prophesy over the kings. He got the music playing, the Lord touched him, and he started prophesying over them. He girded up the loins of his mind. Elevated his perspective so he could operate like who he was supposed to operate as. You're a prophet, not someone that should be strongly denying those people. What is wrong with you? Touch you. All right, thus saith the Lord. And that's what the Lord did. He did something, shared a revelation with me that girded up the loins of my mind that was leading me down a weird path of bondage. And I girded up the loins of my mind. It changed things in me. Is this making sense? And I was able to run free, be free, and not allow my untied up loins of my mind go run rampant that will lead me to destruction and bondage. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end's destruction. Gird up your loins of your mind. Do you know loins there means semen? Pastor's like, what are you talking about? If you do Greek, Hebrew, whatever, or Greek study on that, it means a couple things, but it does mean semen, loins. You know what he's saying? Bring a soundness to your mind. Gird up your mind. Because if you don't and you get loosey-goosey with things, you're going to be like David and have some sons on your hands or have a kid on your hands and make actions where other things will die because you didn't gird up the loins of your mind. You fell into lust, and now you're in a place of destruction. Ah, got to be void. But there's only certain things that are accessed because of his goodness, your inheritance as your birthright, but through prayer. I love this. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with praise. Do you know what I think's crazy? Jesus says he's the gate. Do you want to enter into the revelation of Jesus? There's only certain revelations of Christ that you'll enter into by praising him. I try it when you go home. Turn your eyes towards Jesus and just start thanking him for him. Jesus, I just thank you. I even have a vision now of him just opening up and us coming into the gate. Through that thanking him. And then you start getting this revelation of and this reality of Jesus, this beauty of Jesus, this power of Jesus, the weight of Jesus. And it's that revelation before the therefore that you start to gird up the loins of your mind with. Why do you think I gave you the context of the before the therefore? Is because he's saying all this good stuff about eternal salvation and how, if you're obedient, you can be secure in your salvation. And then he says, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Then he throws in the same verse. He says, with hope in grace and the revelation of Jesus Christ. To where, watch this, when I walk into an atmosphere and it's bound, I'm free because the revelation of Christ that I choose to believe has girded up the loins of my mind, and I don't see death, I just see someone sleeping, and I'm going to say, Lazarus, come forth. Man, when I was a pastor, I had a gentleman listen to me. I had a gentleman who was one of our pastors, great man of God. My pastor was in Florida. I was there. I was the man in charge. I was in the bathroom. Not going to get descriptive. I was in the bathroom. My administrator, who's now my aunt through marriage, and my receptionist comes screaming at the door of the bathroom saying that George is dead. And I know, I'm like, what? They said a tractor fell on him. I said, what? I jump out of the bathroom, jump in a truck with somebody. Because I didn't go alone, and I drove there. I'm one of the first people there to see George's just legs out of a bush hog, and then I'm standing there with his wife in a nightgown, totally distraught, of course. What do you do in that moment if your mind's not girded up? And I'm telling you what, there were some loose ends that I needed the hand of the Lord to come and tie up my mind, to bring some sobriety so that when I go up there, I can comfort her. But then I went to his feet while he was still under there, no longer alive, and I commanded him to come to life. He didn't, but I'm still believing for resurrections. I'm down in Parkersburg, West Virginia, because of the revelation of Christ that has girded my mind. I'm down in Parkersburg, West Virginia. A guy comes up, says, hey, it's a Saturday night. He says, can you pray that my dad would know the Lord? I want him to know the Lord. Wait, the pastor said that. He's like, he wants to make sure his dad knows the Lord because he's on life support and they pull the plug tomorrow. We prayed for his dad to know the Lord, but I prayed for healing and resurrecting life. 10 a.m., they go in and pull the plug on dad. 11 a.m., dad's still alive. At 4 p.m., this is why you can't talk me out of God being a miracle worker still today. At 4 p.m., listen to me, guys, they're going to pull the plug. He's done. Pull the plug, 11 a.m., still has a heartbeat. Doesn't need the machine. When he needed the machine. 4 p.m., they say, your dad's stable. Amen. They go in there thinking that they're going to watch this, be tested and confronted with having to pull the plug and face the emotions of their dad being gone. But then the Lord came and intervened. Come on, somebody. Because there was a group of believers that had the loins of their garments. Watch this. Strapped up, because watch, whenever you did that in the Old Testament, you were able to run freely. When the loins of your mind is, watch this, girded up, you're able to be in freedom and not be, watch this, because you're dead to everything that brings bondage. You guys okay? So whenever you pray, whenever you praise and seek the Lord, he brings you into a revelation that becomes your rear guard and girds up and guards the loins of your mind so you're not planting the wrong seeds into the atmosphere and producing death. I had this revelation and this truth as I wind this down so we can pray. Only 38 minutes in, we're doing really good. How many of you love it or hate it? I'm not saying it's completely contextually sound, context and stuff is all sound, but how many of you have watched The Chosen before, right? And listen, I have some issues with some of it, right? And I will publicly say that, but I like The Chosen. It just makes some things come alive, and I'm okay with saying I watched it. I haven't seen season 3. I already have issues with it, but anyways, there's some things I'm like, dude, this is super cool. Well, they're with Jesus. They're with Jesus on the movie. I think it's season two. Yeah, where they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And they're in the movie, because they really put it together well, even though biblically you need to make sure it's accurate to the most part, but they're building this tent, because the Feast of Tabernacles, right? You build the tent, you dwell in them, right? You eat. Just recently, I had a vision of that, like just a reference point to that of the disciples. That's why I like The Chosen. It makes things visible or visual. And they're sitting with Jesus, laughing and having this good time in the tent they just built for the Feast of Tabernacles. And they're celebrating the Feast of Dwelling, the Feast of Tabernacle with Jesus himself. Through prayer and praise and your intentionality, you're meeting with Jesus in the tent that he already dwells in. And you get to fellowship with him, and he gets, like, he reveals to you guys and reveals to me some crazy, amazing things that lead to our therefore. Gird up the loins of your mind. I'm going to share something with you that will stretch you. I'm spending time with Jesus the other day. And I don't care if this freaks you out. Take it before the Lord, because I believe it's scripturally sound and it definitely lines up with his character. I'm with Jesus in like this rich field, this soil that has been broken up. I'm not saying I was physically there, but it was like this came alive in me. Where I'm with Jesus in this good soil. Remember the parable of the soils? Or the parable of the sowers, other people call it. I'm with Jesus, and he has his sandals off, and he has his sandals in his hand. Jesus spoke in parables in the Bible to articulate heavenly meat things. Can I tell you something? That's visions today. And we're walking with Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus, and he's just like wrinkling up his toes in the nice soil. And I knew it was the good soil in the Bible. It says about 30, 60, 100 fold that you'll yield if that seed falls on good ground. And his actions, his joy of just being with me brought a sobriety and a soundness and a girding up of my loins that brought greater freedom. And I pray that it doesn't just stop at 30, that it will go to 60 and 100 fold revelation. You know what I think's crazy? When he shares that story with the parable with the crowd, and then he goes to with his disciples at the campfire, and they lean in a little more. And Brian, I believe they're the ones that refuse to be at a 30-fold revelation. They were actually acting out what Jesus was portraying in that parable. Some seed fell on good ground and it yielded 30, 60, and 100. Those who walked away and didn't ask any more questions may have been at 30. They were still good soil, but they only stopped at 30. But the disciples were the ones that said, teach us about that. He's like, you've been given the ability to know the mysteries of what I say. But I don't even think it was just like you're special and they're not. It's you actually ask, so I'll reveal. Because certain things are only accessed through the request of prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to tabernacle with you, so to speak, metaphorically. That's just your alone time with him. And let things come alive in you, like he gave me a greater understanding of the parable of the sowers there. And I believe what I was seeing from him, just having fun and enjoyment with me, sowed something in me, and it girded up the loins of my mind where I want to now sow seeds that show people their value, because that's what he did for me. Is this making sense? I finished with this. For that to happen, it's not by your own might. It's not by your own doings. It's by what is revealed, and it's the working of the Holy Spirit. Because watch this, I wrote down, I wanted to break down, I'm not going to go real far into this, but I wanted to break down presence, anointing, and the prophetic, which are three elements that guard your mind and gird up the loins of your mind. The prophetic, anointed encouragement, God declaring over you, revealing to you things that you're to receive as good soil and not let it be choked up, burned up, or trampled on. That it, watch this, is a the revelation God reveals to you is a pearl, and you sell everything for it. Amen. You give yourself to the feel that the pearl was in, the treasure was in. Does this make sense? And refuse to say at 30. The prophetic is God releasing over you a hope in your future. The prophetic is God giving you a promised end. Grab a hold of that and let it lead you to your own, therefore I'll gird up the loins of my mind. His presence, though, is Holy Spirit. His anointing is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you. And this is what I wrote down. Holy Spirit is the anointing. And I love this because anointing means all kinds of things. But it means to smear. The anointing means to consecrate, to set somebody apart. And this is what I saw. Holy Spirit is the anointing, and it shouts, watch, Holy Spirit shouts out to us. And I believe he's shouting out to us today, saying, come, let's run away together, far from the things of this world. That's him smearing revelation on you and causing you to be set apart. That's part of the anointing, being lost in the majesty of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but we should want to be lost in his writings. What do you mean that lost in his writings? Lost in the stories of Christ that Holy Spirit wants to reveal. To where we get lost in that, hide ourselves in it, and hide it in our hearts so that we can live lives that are fruitful. That's why loins there means, come on somebody, semen, fruitful. Gird up your loins with fruitful things. The revelation that you're getting lost in, that Holy Spirit's revealing to you. One day I'm sitting with Jesus, I know I was, and Jesus said, this right here is my oil of gladness. This produces joy in me. I love this right here. You and me just sitting together. And that's where he said to me, the pain of the cross was nothing compared to this pain that I experienced being separated from you because of sin. Because of your choices. I don't know about you, but that brings a soundness in my mind. His reality just added an understanding to my identity, brought a sobriety and brought a blessing in my heart. Hello? Now, it then guards me if I follow behind his leading. It guards me from the thoughts that are like, you're worthless, you're pathetic, you don't mean anything. But when Holy Spirit, who is the presence and the anointing, smears you with revelation, you running away with it, being obedient to it, hiding it in your heart and treasuring it, girding up the loins of your mind with it so that you don't sin against God, speaks of your anointing, which means consecration. He smeared me with this revelation. What is the point of being elevated in our perspective if we're not going to live there? He anoints us with the word, but are we going to live and abide under that anointing? And if we do, we'll be fruitful and produce the right fruit.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.